وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء for all your duas, Hazrat Maulana Salim Saab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envelope you in his rahmah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Dhalikal kitabu la rayba fihi. هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International. Continuing with Surah Fatiha, Surah Al Fatiha is a cure. One of the names of Surah Al Fatiha is Shafiyah, that is the curer. Just as the words spiritually heal the heart of believers, the mu'mineen, it also heals the physical body. Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Yazid radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once recited Surah Al-Fatiha and blew on him so that he may be saved from diseases. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Surah Al-Fatiha is an effective antidote for poisons. Sayyidina Abdul Malik bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fatihatul Kitab is a cure for all things. The book Hisnul Haseen reports from Abu Dawud and Nasa'i, who say that Surah Fatiha should be repeatedly recited upon a mentally deranged person in the mornings and evenings. The person reciting it should then blow on the patient in a manner that a few droplets of saliva also fall on the patient. This will, inshallah, be a cure. Tirmidhi reports that Surah Al-Fatiha should be recited 7 times upon one smitten by a scorpion or snake. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that some companions, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, were once on a journey when a person from a nearby locality was stung by a scorpion. The locals asked the companions radiallahu anhum whether any of them knew of any cure. So one of the companions, the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, recited Surah Al-Fatiha and blew on the person, thereby curing him. He was rewarded with some goats in lieu of the service. When his companions saw him returning with the goats, they disliked it because they felt that he had acquired wealth by using the kalam of Allah. When they reported the matter to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah's book is the most worthy of acquiring wealth from all things whereby you acquire wealth. Surah Al-Fatiha for safety at night. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any of you lies down to rest at night, he will be safe from all things besides death if he recites Fatihatul Kitab and Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Surah Ikhlas. Also try and make it a point of reading Surah Ayatul Kursi at night before one sleeps. So we see the great benefits of Surah Al-Fatiha. All we need is faith and absolute tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah, number 2, is Surah Al-Baqarah. And the translation of the first few verses will be shared with you. Alif Lam Mim. This is a book wherein there is no doubt. Therein is guidance for the Allah-fearing, those who believe in the unseen, establish salah, and spend from what we have given them. Those who believe in what has been revealed to you and what has been revealed before you, and they are convinced about the hereafter, these are the ones who are upon a great guidance from their Lord. These are the successful ones. Surah Al-Baqarah is the second surah according to the Uthmani script. It has been named Al-Baqarah, the bullock, the cow, because of the mention of a bullock in the surah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also referred it to by this name. Now the virtues of Surah Al-Baqarah. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not make your homes like graveyards by not making dhikr and reciting the Quran therein. Without doubt, the devil, shaitan, flees from the house wherein Surah Al-Baqarah is recited." So each one of us should question ourselves, when last did we recite Surah Baqarah in our homes? If we have a set tartib and manner of reciting the noble Quran, that we're making a khatam on a monthly basis, at least Surah Baqarah will be recited once in a month. So Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that he heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Recite the Quran because it will appear as an intercessor for the people on the day of resurrection. Recite the two lights, Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, because these two will appear like two clouds or like two flights of birds on the day of resurrection. They will then intercede very strongly on behalf of their people. Recite Surah Al-Baqarah because its recitation is a source of blessings and barakah. Forsaking it is a great deprivation, and the people of falsehood cannot combat it." This is mentioned in Muslim Sharif. Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh says that the people of falsehood in the above hadith refers to those who practice black magic. Therefore, the person who recites Surah Al-Baqarah will be safeguarded from the effect of black magic. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala reports from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that everything has a pinnacle, and the pinnacle of the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah contains a verse that is the leader of all verses, and that verse is Ayatul Kursi. The shaitan, the devil, will surely flee from the home wherein Ayatul Kursi is recited. So we must make a point of reciting Ayatul Kursi in our homes, morning and evenings. Surah Al-Baqarah is referred to as the pinnacle of the Quran, either because it is the longest surah in the Quran, or because it contains a large number of laws. It may be also called such because it contains the command of jihad, religious war, whereby Islam may be elevated. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Nisa, Surah Hajj, and Surah Nur must be learned because they contain the fara'iz. Now the huruf muqatta'at, the alif lam mim, is referred to as huruf muqatta'at. Letters appear like these. They appear at the beginning of 29 surahs. Alif lam mim appears at the beginning of 6 surahs. Alif lam ra at the beginning of 5 surahs. Hamim at the beginning of 6 surahs. And Tasim mim at the beginning of 2 surahs. All the others appear only once each. Now, since these letters are termed as mutashabihat, commentators do not translate them and merely comment by saying that Allah knows best what they mean. So this is the stance of many scholars, including the 4 righteous khulafa, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and others. So some scholars have attached meanings to them, while others say that these are the names of these surahs. Sayyidina Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi says that Alif Lam Mim is another name of the Quran. Sayyidina Sha'abi says rahmatullah alayhi that it is one of Allah's names. While Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that it is one of Allah's names by which Allah swears an oath. A certain commentator says that the letter Alif is the first letter in the name Allah. The letter Lam is the beginning of Latif, one of Allah's names, while the Mim stands for the beginning of Muhammad. Others maintain that the letter Alif is the first letter of Allahu, the bounties of Allah. The letter Lam is the beginning of Lutfullah, Allah's grace, where the meme stands for Majdullah Allah's grandeur. However, none of these interpretations have been reported from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So some scholars have mentioned that since the Arabs said that the Quran was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speech, the huruf muqatta'at have been added to the Quran to impress upon them that the Quran comprises of the same letters which they use in their daily speech. However, the fact that they are still unable to produce a single surah equivalent to the Quran proves that it cannot be the speech of an eloquent man, let alone an untutored person. The muqatta'at letters are recited individually and according to the laws of tajweed. One will prolong the pronunciation, which is called mad. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever will recite a single letter of the Quran will receive the reward of a good deed for every letter recited. And every good deed is multiplied 10 times. I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but Alif is one letter, Lam is one letter, and Mim is another letter. So the reward is multiplied by 10 each, and that equals to 30 rewards. Now the Quran Majid is Allah's book without any doubt. This is a book wherein there is no doubt, la rayba fi. If a person was to ponder over the Quran, he will realize that the Quran must surely be Allah's revelation to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If any person does not arrive at this conclusion, the fault lies with his perception and understanding. So if a person rejects the Holy Quran after much deliberation, saying that he has doubts about the Quran, it will merely be his obstinacy and forbid him from accepting it. The Quran is a guidance for those who fear Allah, hudal lil muttaqin. Therein is guidance for the Allah fearing. Another verse of Surah Al-Baqarah says that the Quran is guidance for mankind. Although the Quran essentially guides all of mankind, it is especially beneficent to those who fear Allah because they will attach importance to it and pay heed to its advice. They are the ones who have decided not to be deviated and not to remain in infidelity, in kufr. The Arabic word muttaqin, translated above as Allah fearing, actually means people who are abstinent. The word piety, taqwa, is also derived from the same root word. So abstinence from infidelity, from kufr, for polytheism, shirk, and sins, as well as performing good deeds, are included in the meaning of piety and taqwa. Abstaining from doubtful things and devoting one's inner self to Allah will constitute piety, and piety is taqwa of a higher degree. The piety, taqwa, and belief, the iman of the pious persons, muttaqeen, continuously increase with the noble Quran. Now the qualities of the pious person, the muttaqeen. The first quality of the people of piety, of taqwa, pious people, the muttaqeen, is that they are those who believe in the unseen. They believe in everything that Allah and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about the past and future events. So they don't even ask for any proof, even though they have never witnessed them. Belief, iman, is only acceptable when one believes in the unseen. The belief of people on the day of resurrection will not be acceptable because everything will be before their eyes. And the second quality of the pious people is that they establish salah. The verse does not say that they merely perform salah, but that they establish salah. This means that in their salah, they pay heed to every fard, wajib, sunnah, and mustahab act. They concentrate deeply in their salah, performing it with humility. Ibn Kathir reports that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said, the establishment of salah means that one performs the kneeling or the bowing in ruku and the prostration, the sajda, properly. One must also recite the Quran correctly in salah, be humble, and be conscious of the salah while performing salah, conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third quality of the pious people, the muttaqeen, is that they spend from what we have given them. After mentioning the greatest of all physical forms of worship, salah, Allah says that the pious muttaqeen are also particular about spending from the wealth that Allah has granted to them. So this verse refers to all forms of spending in charity, whether it be fard like zakat and ushr, واجب لايك صدقه الفطر او اوبشنال سبيندينج لله، everything is included. So those who believe in what has been revealed to you and what has been revealed before you. Another quality of the pious muttaqin is mentioned. They believe the iman is only acceptable when one believes in all of Allah's prophets alayhim salam and all the divine scriptures. Rejection of any one of these will disqualify one as a believer. So the Muslims, they believe in the Bible, but not the present one that is adulterated. They believe in the original one that was revealed on Hazrat Isa ala Nabina wa salatu wasalam. And the soul, same thing goes for the Old Testament, the Torah, and the Zabur, the Psalms of Hazrat Dawud alayhi salam. So this is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah in verse 285, where the believers and mu'minin are told to declare, we make no distinctions between one and another messenger. لا نفرق بين أحد منهم. So the true believers, mu'minin, also believe in all the previously revealed scriptures, whether they be books or booklets called Sahifa. Some booklets have been mentioned in the Quran, like those given to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, which have been referred to in the concluding verse of Surah Ada, Suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. It is obligatory for a believer, a mu'min, to believe in all of Allah's revealed scriptures, whether one has knowledge of these or not. Describing the attributes of the pious people further, Allah says, and they are convinced about the year after. The three most important constituents of belief and iman are belief in Allah, belief in prophethood of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and belief in resurrection after death. So these have been mentioned in the above verses, together with the addition of salah and zakah, because the most important aspect of deen after belief in salah, after belief in iman is salah, followed by zakah. Salah is a physical form of worship, while zakah is a monetary and financial form of ibadat. So these are the ones, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the ones who are upon a great guidance from their Lord. These are the successful ones. Those who possess the above qualities are declared as being successful, meaning that they have attained Allah's pleasure and will be rewarded by Jannah in the year after by heaven. This is the ultimate success. The verse mentions that these people are upon guidance, denoting that they are steadfast upon guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to remain steadfast on guidance. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.